podcast listener. Looking for a short podcast that's fun, upbeat, and that talks about love and dating during quarantine in a way that makes you smile? Well, we recommend checking out Love on Lockdown, a podcast by Match. Tune in for love. You can listen to Love on Lockdown wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Love on Lockdown by Match.
With an Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Etchels!
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Socarellis.
Wokes, it's Nancy Oakes.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay? Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers,
she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
It's Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa. Nancy, cease and desisto.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old brawls. Happy Monday, everybody. It's me, Ronnie, and over there's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how's it going?
Oh, just fab.
Yeah? Well, welcome to Top Chef Day, everybody. You can find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, which is currently covering Listen to Your Heart. And Ben can be found on the Game Brain podcast and also The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon on YouTube. So go watch it, everybody. Yeah, so like we said, today is Top Chef. Super excited. Couple things to get out of the way. You can watch our videos. Crappens on demand, okay? If you'd rather watch your video recaps, we do a couple a week, and sometimes we live stream live shows. Super fun. So thanks to everybody who joins that. We love doing those. Our bonus episodes for this month are The Tiger King. We did the whole season, so go over to Patreon for those. And you can get shirts, isolate shirts, vote Ben Ron 2020, which is looking better every day. It's looking like a more feasible option every day. And small business shout out. So a lot of you have small businesses, and in these crazy times, we are going to shout you out here on this show, Ben. What do you have today?
Today I've got Mary Armstrong. And let's see what Mary Armstrong says. She's doing a small business shout out for her best friend, whose name is Sarah, who owns a cleaning company in Tulsa called I Clean It. And the I Clean is like all one word, like iCarly or iMac. It's I Clean space it. She does residential and commercial, and you can find her on Facebook under I Clean It. She's amazing and very professional, and Mary could gush about her all day, but she'll spare us, okay? Mary is a nurse, and she says she can take all the distraction she can get, and she would have been at our Oklahoma City show if it wasn't for good old Rona. So Mary, thank you so much for all the amazing work you're doing as a nurse and like being out there on the front lines, as well as all the other nurses and essential workers that are out there. So thank you so much, Mary, for all you're doing. And also, thank you for shouting out Sarah and I clean it.
And also thank you to all the princesses out there. Okay. If you're in Portland, Oregon, maybe you've heard of Elsa. Okay. Her name is Elsa. She's from Frozen. Her real name is Kristen. And by day, she's a high school teacher. And she says, so as you may have heard, that means I make approximately $1 a year. But she's also a musical theater performer and supplements her income with a business where she performs as Elsa at Frozen parties wow. and events. And she does it freelance, but she is really good because she's a musical theater girl, okay? And she has training at Standards. And there's no parties right now, obviously, so she's doing it virtually. She's Elsa live in Zoom calls, which is amazing, or cameo-style videos for kids. She only charges $5 a video call, and she's partnering with a local restaurant there in Portland so that 50% of her proceeds go towards providing meals for hospital workers and first responders. The business is called Parties with Princess Kristen, and she can be reached for details and bookings. Let's see.
That's great.
You can Instagram. She's at kristen.m.alarcon. That's how I would say it. Alarcon. Alarcon. That's Kristen. Kristin.m.alarcon. Or you can email her at elsaofarendelle217@gmail.com.
Oh, that's totally dope. I bet kids would like that. And you know what? I'm just going to add one more. This is a more of a personal one. My boyfriend, Dominique, has been helping out with this new thing called Broadway Babysitters Club. Which is one of his friends started up. She was in SpongeBob the Musical and like a million other things. And basically it goes on for about half an hour, where it's like this Zoom session where your kids can learn dance moves from like Broadway people. And like Titus Burgess was on it and everything. I'm pretty sure he was. But Dom has been consistently teaching kids how to do fun little dances. He did like Apples and Bananas song this week, which he taught me the choreo for. He was like, if you can do it, then the kids can do it. And guess what? I could do it. So check that out. I don't know where to check it out, but maybe check out on his Instagram or something. But if you have kids who want to do some dancing once a week, that's also a good little thing.
Well, there you go, everybody. So thanks for sending those in, and go support your small businesses in these nutty times we live in.
Yeah.
And now let's get on to some top chefery. Yeah, let's
move on from some nutty, nutty times to some nutty, nutty aftertaste. Am I right? Flavors. That was my transition.
Love your flavor trans.
Yeah, thanks. I just thought I'd take it to like a culinary place. I did a lot of cooking this weekend, actually, I have to say. So this, I actually really enjoy doing Top Chef on Mondays, because usually on the weekends I've done something crazy, like cook some sort of mad meal for the fun of it. So I'm like, food is very top of mind for me at the moment.
Food is always top of mind for me, Ben.
Yeah.
Always.
I know, I'm saying it as if it's like a revolutionary concept that food would ever be top of mind for anyone.
Oh, I was doing a little, just food prep before we started this. I did so much hummus. I made so much freaking hummus. Like, it's coming out of my ears. And then I went on Instagram, and guess who else made hummus today? Her name is Ina Garten. So here's what I'd like to say. Back off.
You better back it up, bitch, Ina.
You better back it up, you see.
Come up with your own ways to go past the Monday blues, all right?
Back in like March 10th or 12th or something like that, I loaded up on garbanzo beans. And I was like, you know what? Going into quarantine, going to do nothing but make hummus. And I've yet to actually make any hummus, but I will get to it, I'm sure, at some point. But I made something that was really good this weekend that was like, I made a giant potato pancake, essentially. I Allison Roman, who is like my favorite next to Ina, she has a recipe in the New York Times for potato kugel, which is like a Jewish dish. It's essentially a giant potato pancake. And I shredded five giant potatoes, shredded an onion, mixed it with 6 eggs and some oil and some salt and pepper, dumped it into a cast iron skillet, and basically, you know, you cook it on the stovetop for 10 or 12 minutes and put it in the oven for an hour, and it comes out just this big, crusty thing of shredded potatoes. Yum. And it was divine.
Yum. That sounds delicious. I don't like the word Google, but I do like the sound of that dish. You know?
Well, okay, so you're an anti-Semite. That's fine.
Well, it's a vagina. It's like a vagina exercise. It reminds me of the vagina exercise. Well,
That's Kegel. Kegel. Well, no, Jess Kegel is from EW, and Kegel is, I think, the vagina exercise, and Google is the Jewish deliciousness.
It's just too much. And then there's the one that you search for things on the internet with your vagina, the Google. It's
Google, just too much, Freddy Krueger. Anyway, I thought you'd especially like that because it was like a very potato-forward dish, and I know... Like me, you love a nice big potato situation.
I do love potatoes, and I wonder what I'm eating them sometimes. Like, why do I love these so much? Because they're like nothing.
they are.
They're nothing. I mean, they're really nothing unless you slather them in butter and other crap, and I just still love them. You know, a potato can just make any dish sink, okay?
Well, they're basically like obnoxious friends, right? They are people who don't have any personality of their own, so they take on other people's personalities, but they do it better. So they kind of like take on someone else's personality and then leave that person behind in the dust. Mm. They're very
evil. Social vampires.
Yeah, they're social vampires. On their own, they're nothing, but give them some butter and oil.
They'll soar. Little salt. Little too much ginger. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do this, Ben. Top Chef Day.
This is all a way of trying to postpone the inevitable, which is talking about Brian Mullarky holding crystals at the top of this show.
You know, this fuck people with crystals. And I'm sorry, I know I have friends out there with crystals probably listening to the show. Not you, I don't mean you. But fuck everybody else with crystals. And guess who else has crystals? Me. I love
your
them.
Mom. Oh.
People with crystals are crazy, okay? We're all nuts. I don't know people that have crystals that aren't like... secretly using those crystals to try and take over the world. Like, yes, I have pink crystals, but I don't want to just fall in love. Like, I want someone's empire. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's always something evil behind them. And I trust people like Nini, who has crystals, because she's so sweet. But then there's always a Mullarky over there using the crystals for bad.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's such a thing as a dark crystal, okay? And, you know, I was very concerned at the top of this episode to see Nini and Mullarky bonding over crystals and holding them, and Nini saying things like, you know, the only person in this house who really understands crystals like the way I do is Mullarky, or something along that. And I was like, this is a bad omen, Nini. You should not be bonding with Mullarky on any level, especially not on a crystal level.
Yeah, on a rock, over a rock. Yeah. You know? So then Melissa kind of bonds with them, just in the hippy-dippy way. She's like, well, I like jade. So so that's my thing for the day.
Yeah, I was actually, when I was watching this in real time, I thought, well, not real time, but the first time when I started watching it, when Mullarky gave her that crystal, I was like, fuck, Melissa's going home because he poisoned it. He put like poison energy into that crystal. But I didn't realize that actually it was really Nini who got poisoned.
Yeah, he was totally poisoning Nini's crystal. He's like, put your crystal closer to mine, Nini.
Yeah, not like that at all. Yeah, she should have known.
He does give her some shitty energy in the very next scene when they get to the kitchen and Padma's there with... James Beard Award winner, Chris Bianco. I can't believe he's won a James Beard Award. That's amazing. But then Nini has to push Brian out of the way because he won't like let her into the group. And she's like, watch out, Brian. Baby's here. And then he just gives her this evil look. Did you catch it?
I might also give someone an evil look who said, move over, Brian's baby's here. I would be like, okay, please leave me alone.
Because I always tell her she's the baby of the group.
That's true.
And like, put on your seatbelt because you're the baby or whatever.
This was also the episode where I started to think, you know, I think Nini might go all the way, which is a classic sign that someone's going to get eliminated. When I have that instinct, it's like immediately they get kicked off, like within the episode.
The crystals. I'm blaming the crystals.
So Padma's like, hello, chefs. I'm excited to introduce you to your guest judge, a homely version of Isaac Mizrahi. Hello.
I know. And also for the regular episode, I mean, for the regular challenge, the main challenge, he was also a little Isaac Mizrahi, the conductor guy.
Oh, you mean Dudamel? Yeah, Dudamel. Yeah, there was like this week there was a little bit of Isaac Mizrahi hair going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of Mizrahi.
Yeah, a lot of Mizrach.
So, yeah, she's like, welcome. Welcome to a guy who we can't figure out if he has an accent or not because he just talks so much like Harvey Fierstein. Am I right, Chris? And he's like, yeah, I like pizzas, huh? You learn to burn things and you learn things and you burn things. Am I right, kids, huh?
Yeah, his whole thing is that he makes, like, really good pizza. So, but he's like, so he keeps on talking about that. And he's like, today, chefs, what you have to do is make the perfect dish. And you just have to use flour. But guess what you won't see here? No all-purpose flour. Sorry, girl. She just loves that AP. Anyway, create flour. Anyway. And so then Chris is like, yeah, and even though I like pizza, it don't have to be round, okay? I'm going to say that about 5 more times this challenge, okay?
Don't got to be round for you to found it. Am I right?
You need to work on that one a little, Ishmael. I say Ishmael.
Ishmael. But Ishmael is the more homely version of Isaac anyway. We all know that one. So they have basically this, like, display of all these flours, like garbanzo flour and coconut flour and rice flour and buckwheat flour. And Malarkey's like, whoa, other flours. I haven't even seen half of these flours before, which is, like, exactly what you'd expect Malarkey to be, like, stuck, you know, 15 years ago when all you had was AP flour.
Yeah. This is an annoying challenge because all of these flours annoy me. Because my sister's family is all gluten-free. And I've tried to cook with this kind of flour so many times. Guess what? It doesn't work, okay? Stop villainizing gluten. Gluten's an amazing, amazing, stretchy person, okay?
Well, people forgot that they were gluten-free as soon as this pandemic started. In case you haven't noticed, anytime you try to buy flour, suddenly everyone's gluten-free issues cleared up real quick.
Yeah. So Volt is doing, like, he's like, I'm gonna make Hazel. Oh, by the way, the Voltaggios are not twins, they're just brothers. I don't know why I keep calling them twins, but I said Voltaggio twins once, like, years ago, and I've never stopped saying it. In my mind, they're twins. They look enough alike, and they have enough of a weird communication to be twins to me. So sorry. Okay?
No, I get it. They have a strong fraternal twin energy.
Yeah, they really do. Like, they have that secret language, but they also might, like, murder suicide. Like, you know, they have that weird twin energy going on.
Yeah, like a competitive twin energy, like good twin, bad twin.
Yeah, where you're just like, oh my god, you guys are both so talented, and you look so much alike. Have you ever made out? You know.
Yeah, they kind of have that energy. Like, I kind of expect Brian Voltaggio to be, like, sort of leaning up against Michael Voltaggio at sort of an angle to be like, hey, I'm like the Danny DeVito of our twinship, you know? and Voltaggio's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and twins.
I just imagine them taking Christmas cards, like, backed up against each other, you know, like, with their arms crossed. Looking at their sister.
There's, like, an eyeball of their sister. Yeah. Eating her croissant fish. Padma's like, there will be no immunity in this challenge, but to soften the blow, the chef that wins will get $5,000. That's a lot of dough, right? That's a joke. How'd you like that one, Ali Wong?
Hope you can rise to the occasion, Ali Wong, my dear friend.
Did that need work? Get that one, Ali Wong.
So Voltaggio is doing his usual thing where he's, like, barely going to do the challenge.
Yes.
You know, he's going to use, like, a purple flour or some shit, but he's not going to make any kind of bread or anything. He's like, well, there will be flour in there, but it's not going to actually be flour. So, well, I'm not really sure how this is going to work out, but it's going to taste good. God, I hope I'm not on the bottom again.
Yeah, they're like, why did you serve us branzino for the second week in a row? We want flour, damn it.
Mm.
So, so they're all sort of, like, playing around with these flours. And, you know, Gregory's happy because he has actually been gluten-free for, like, 10 years. So he knows exactly what to do. And Karen, meanwhile, she's just, like, laughing along and, like, setting things on fire. She's, like, talking to someone. And then there's a full-on sheet of something that is fully ablaze at her station. She's like, oh, well, I guess I just caught that on fire. I'm glad Kelly Clarkson wasn't here to see that. I'll just put that out right here. Oh, great.
Yeah, it's like paper towels or something. And then these times, I just don't like seeing paper towels go up into flames. You know, I'm like, God, you don't even know what's coming, Karen. You do not know what's coming.
Not.
Nope. Malarkey is going to make coconut donuts and ice cream. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's the joke of the house. You know, Malarkey's got the ice cream machine again. But it should work. I mean, coconut donut without any ice cream. Come on, guys.
And Karen's like, well, Malarkey tried an ice cream one other time. Maybe the second time's the charm. Oh, I make myself laugh so much. My foot's on fire.
Leanne doesn't want to bake something, so she's going to boil some dumplings with some buckwheat flour.
And why did she not make blinis, by the way? Isn't that like the most classic famous use of buckwheat flours to make blinis? Am I crazy?
I don't know. I've never made a blini before.
It's basically like a buckwheat pancake.
Well, I'm glad she didn't, because she'd be competing with Gregory, who hasn't had flour in 10 years.
Leanne, or maybe I should call you Blini-Anne. Get that, Ali Wong. It's a joke. Your profession's easy.
And Nini is going to make a Vietnamese rice flour crepe. And she's so going to use her grandma's recipe. And she's like, if I win that $5,000, I'm taking her to the old country.
Okay.
The motherland, which is so cute. And then Steph is making, Steph is still over there just being positive as ever. She's like, you have no idea. Yes. God, you just can't pull out a recipe on your phone. I mean, how am I supposed to do this? I mean, this could be good, or it could just be a big gloopy poop pop.
Yeah, big pile of blue poop. Yeah, that noise you made is exactly the Steph noise, that, you know, where her bangs fly up a little bit. You know, yes. Like little dust mites, like they're like, come on, she's about to do it, we're going on a ride. They like climb to the front of her hair and wait for her to do that noise and go flying up in the air.
Yeah. And then Voltaggio's like, well, this is really difficult for me because my food takes layers. Shut up, Voltaggio, okay? Make some dough.
Get a crumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Stephanie, she tries her food and she like makes this face like, ugh. And then she goes, I like it. I like that her happy face is, ugh. Yeah.
Her face is always miserable. She's one of those kids in the yearbook photo. You're always like, smile. And she's like, I am smiling.
Yeah. Okay. She put Soul Asylum as her yearbook quote.
Stephanie, we got another one of your pictures in from the school. Could you please just smile? Good, mother, I was smiling.
Let me watch Daria. So Malarkey's dough is finally something is saying, no, I will not do this. I will not participate in this. I will not help Malarkey go along. And it's the dough. The dough is protesting and not coming together. And I guess his dough isn't working. I'm of the mindset that whatever dough he does have, just deep fry that shit. Because it will, I think like the rule of dough is it doesn't matter what the dough is. If you deep fry it, it's going to taste good, right?
It's the rule of everything.
Can you deep fry bad dough? Yeah.
It's the rule of everything.
Rule of everything.
Time's up. So Leanne serves her buckwheat polenta gnocchi. What did she make?
It was a buckwheat pulpette with Brussels sprouts and kimchi, or Brussels sprouts kimchi.
And Eric has made some kind of porridge thing.
Yeah.
And he's really into his foo-foo. Let's just call it what it is, okay? Eric made some foo-foo.
Okay, calm down, Nilu. Nilu is somewhere like, foo-foo? Foo-foo? I just love foo-foo, and I'm not Gail.
With some black cod on top. And then Gregory made some pancakes, which, you know, they were delicious, I guess. They said that they were delicious, but I thought that was like the easiest thing, because that's always what you read when you first go vegan or any of that. Not that that lasted long or anything, but yeah. That's what you always read about. They're like, oh my God, pancakes and mushed up bananas and some,
hey, if it some works, plant it works. Milk.
Yeah.
By the way, I say it is harder than it looks. As someone who, when I was on keto, tried to make a keto pancake that involved almond flour and cream cheese or whatever, and it was truly one of the worst things that I'd ever cooked in my life. It was like eating sawdust. Imagine something that looks as beautiful as the most beautiful pancake you've ever seen, and then you bite into it. It's like you just ate sand. It was just awful.
Yep, I've made so many of those in my diet career.
Yeah.
Oh, so Stephanie serves her blue corn purita gnocchi, and Voltaggio does.
She smiles, by the way. It was really weird. She smiled.
Yeah. She's like, because it's Parisian. So. And then Voltaggio serves Soul with a Kalamata crumble, which is cheating. And Padma's like, so is the flour just in the crumble?
I just want to reiterate that in this challenge where you're supposed to be flour forward, you only put it in the crumble. Is that correct, non-Michael Voltaggio?
And then Nini serves her Vietnamese crepe thing, and Padma's like, it almost looks fermented.
I never know like if Padma is like dissing you or what she's saying to you, you know? Because she always sounds so evil. It almost looks fermented.
Like, thank you. Yeah, Padma was like, when Nini, Padma was like eating this thing, and Nini's like, so this is a version of Ban's, I forget how you say it, Xiao, Ban Xiao, and Padma just like does this aggressive nod, like, yes, I know what that is. I am a food professional, and I do know David Chang. Thank you.
Melissa serves duck fat almond flour financiers. And Padma's like, dated plenty of them. Thanks. Always enjoy a good financier joke.
Have you ever had duck fat and then it winds up getting a fatwa against it? Been there.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
Hello, podcast listener. Looking for a short podcast that's fun, upbeat, and that talks about love and dating during quarantine in a way that makes you smile? Well, we recommend checking out Love on Lockdown, a podcast by Match. Tune in for love. You can listen to Love on Lockdown wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Love on Lockdown by Match.
It's commercial.
Kevin has made cornbread with some beans and greens. And Chris seems to like that. And Brian Malarkey is like, okay, before you get closer, opening his Ryan Seacrest mouth to enunciate. And that's what makes me craziest, is that he talks like he's Ryan Seacrest with his mouth opening as big as a fucking python to eat a, you know, goat.
And I think that he thinks he's Ryan Seacrest. I think that he thinks he should be hosting Top Chef. I think he resents that Richard Blaise got to be a recurring judge on the show before he did, you know? So I think he's seeing this as a big audition. So he's like, okay, I'm going to hit you with some great personality. I want you to close your eyes, okay? I want to paint a picture for you. Okay, picture it. Sicily, 1942, okay? I'm coming over on a boat. I only know what all-purpose flour is because every other kind of flour is for some bullshit people. So therefore, I'm presenting you nothing because that's what this challenge deserves. Right, everyone? High five, personality.
By the way, have you seen Ryan Seacrest lately?
I haven't. Is he okay?
He looks like he has been reformed in goo, like Westworld goo, like to make a flesh spot, and came back out with a 5-year-old version of his face. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I don't know what the hell kind of surgery he's getting or what kind of injections he's getting, but he looks like a 5-year-old version of himself, still talking like Ryan Seacrest. It's not like, wow, you look younger. It's like, you look 5 years old, dude. You're creeping me out now.
Yeah, I knew that moment was going to come. I knew, like, it was only a matter of time before Ryan Seacrest did something to his face. It's just we knew it happened, so I definitely want to tune in and check that out. Because I've noticed that Mario Lopez has also started to, like, you know, he for so many years, he seemed sort of ageless, like by Ramona Singer, okay? And I was like, wow, he does not age. But then eventually I started to notice, oh, he's sort of just getting puffy. He sort of has, like, fillers in there. It's like,
yeah, and he does. And the fillers are weird kind Mario of Lopez, building like, up. Yeah, he has, like, Mario Lopez mask now, but then, like, a waddle. Yeah. You know, and you see like the waddle.
He's still so hot to me, but I'm like, okay, all right, I see what's happening here.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, go for it. It's just weird to see Seacrest because he doesn't look like an adult anymore. It's like a baby filter on Instagram, or maybe it's because we're doing this at home thing now and people are using Instagram filters on their actual TV shows.
Maybe.
I don't know what it is, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a whole new world of Zoom content. I mean, Ronnie and I just, we were texting all through it. We watched the 90th birthday celebration for Stephen Sondheim last night. And wow, that was really taking Zoom to new levels of something.
It sure did. The ladies who lunch made the whole thing worth it, that's for sure. And then I went and watched Mandy Patinkin on the Homeland season finale. Or a series finale, I guess. And I've just seen him on that Broadway show going, finishing the heart, finishing the heart, I am in a park, and I'm finishing a heart. And I watched him on Homeland, and I was like, thank you for not singing. I just wrote a letter to Showtime immediately and put it in the snail mail so I could make sure it would get there.
Thank you for not including a scene of Mandy Patinkin singing a cappella in the middle of his spacious backyard with a dog. back, sort of like subtly bragging about his estate. Yeah. I woke up with that person in a tree song in my head. I sort of saw myself in like a split screen of four bends, just singing, I am a person in a tree, whatever that's.
Tell me what you see. Oh, guys, if you haven't watched it, go watch it on YouTube. I think you can still watch it. Okay, it's totally worth it. Patti LuPone really in her weird house. She's like, I'm going to do this in front of a bookshelf, boys. Put me in front of a marionette next to a clock on a shelf for no reason.
And position me right in front of that George Orwell book.
I'm going to sing a song that nobody hums to themselves in the Stephen Sondheim fannery. Called Anyone Can Whistle. Anyone can whistle.
And let's not overlook Jake Gyllenhaal's overly earnest performance of whatever song it was, where he just stared mournfully at the Zoom camera like, look at me, I'm Jake Gyllenhaal. My hair is long and I can do musical theater singing now. He's like,
oh, that was a fun night.
It was fun.
Okay, so Malarkey fucked it up. And Padma's like, that wasn't the challenge, Malarkey.
Yeah. He's like, well, the one thing that didn't quite make it to the party was the donut. She's like, nice try, but you're no Ali Wong. Am I right, Ali Wong? I'm taking your job.
Bad news first. Isaac Mizrahi, version number one of the night. He's like, all right, Voltaggio, you know what? It might have been my favorite dish to eat, but the proportion of the grain was not good to the proportion of the fish. You get a proportion. It was a flour challenge, Brian.
I mean, chefs, you are all so creative and so delicious. With the exception of Brian Voltaggio and Brian Malarkey, I'm going to take away the flour permanently and never eat it. Unlike Gail, she couldn't get her hands off it. We had to bar the doors.
Malarkey is next in the bottom, and she's like, you know already, don't you, Malarkey?
Yeah. And so then the tops are Melissa, Gregory, and Nini, and Chris is like, yeah, I thought Gregory, yours was great, and not because it was round, because I make pizza. Hey, I did like it looked like a bunch of little pizzas that had no toppings on it. I did like that, actually.
Nini, I love that you gave me a little piece of yourself. You taste great, hon.
I was like,
And I know Vietnamese food, too. I know it, too.
Gregory wins.
Yeah, so Gregory wins. And then Padma, like, sends off fake Isaac Mizrahi. And she's like, thank you so much, Chris. And don't be a stranger. Come back soon and see me with famous people instead of these idiots.
Now, for elimination, you'll celebrate the 100th anniversary of the late L.A. Philharmonic. Wow.
Wow. L.A. Phil, which is also what Gail's stomach is never like when she's in Los Angeles. I'm workshopping it, Allie. Stop judging me. I'm workshopping it.
And Leanne's like, wow, during my pregnancy, classical music really fed my soul. Little Debbie peanut butter bars filled my stomach, but, you know, they're not having their 100th anniversary. God, I wish they were. Someone call Little Debbie, please. I just ate a box of those, by the way. Sorry, they're on my brain.
I'd like to introduce my dear friend, Little Deborah. No, Padma, it's Debbie.
Today's guest will include Conductor Dudamel and 60 members of his orchestra. They're not going to be fame whores at all, especially the violinist girl. Spoiler alert. All right, draw knives.
Okay, chefs, you may not know this because you're all idiots, but there are 5 taste profiles that are essential to every chef. Salty, sour, sweet, bitter, and pretentious, also known as umami.
So they have to team up and, you know, one is going to have like salty and one will have sour. And then they have to make it work together in harmony in one dish.
Yeah. And so Malarkey gets bitter and he's like super excited because he loves bitter and he loves endive and radicchio, which I think is a little weird. It's just like so Malarkey. I don't mind if someone really likes radicchio, but I think it's like so Malarkey that he loves radicchio.
Yeah. It's so Malarkey to be like, God, I love endive.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Just loves it. So Nini and Karen immediately just like clasp hands and are like, best friends. And Padma is disgusted. She's like, did you even look at your profile, you two stupid idiots? I mean, that would be like me grabbing Gail's hand and be like, let's go to the dress barn together. I mean, I would never.
I didn't say that the people who both got pushed into lockers in high school should pair up together. I said people with matching knives. All right.
We're supposed to be exploring complementary flavors, not who's the frumpiest.
Whoa, all right, whoever peed on the ground when they saw Kelly Clarkson pair up. No, that's not the challenge. All right.
Nini and Karen are going to be our umami and... Are they umami and sour? Is that what they are?
I forgot. But I do know this. Malarkey loves Andive.
Yeah. Leanne Malarkey. Leanne looks so not thrilled that she's stuck with Malarkey. Leanne's like that one person who's like a little bit friendly to the worst person in school. Like she's the one who has like, she's just like, she has a little bit of sympathy for that person. But then that person always wants to hang out with her. And she's like, oh, like now I'm stuck with, and I can't be mean because I've like sort of made this. I've like morally created this situation in my head that I have to be nice to this person, but now I actually don't want to be this committed to my niceness to this person.
Are you talking about Leanne?
Leanne, yeah.
With Malarkey?
Yes.
It's like nobody else wants you. I guess I'll be stuck with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like Leanne was nice to him at school once, basically. Leanne, like, I don't know, like let him sit at the table once. And now like he just thinks they're like so close. Yeah. And now she's like, when it comes time to picking, she gets stuck with Malarkey and all her friends with other cool people. And she's just like, this sucks. I'm like overcommitted in my trying to be nice to him.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're happy with your teammates because this is a double pink hair elimination. Everybody with pink hair and anybody who's friends with them will be eliminated today.
Double elimination. Kind of like when Gail has to throw out a jumper and a romper. Which he never does, by the way.
So Nini's like, I was eliminated last year on a double elimination, and it really sucks. So this year, I'm really feeling pressure because it was harder than last year. But thank God I rubbed my crystal this morning right next to Malarkey.
So Gregory and Stephanie are a team, and Gregory's like, you know, when I chose my flavor, I really wanted to pick someone based on the flavor that they had. And Stephanie's like, so it wasn't because I'm popular. Fuck me.
I was like, well, congratulations, you two. You're going to get zero airtime.
Yeah, seriously.
See you again when you present your dishes.
Yeah. So then they all drive off to the Walt Disney Concert Hall, and everyone's like buzzing in their cars and your BMWs, which are provided by BMW, my favorite corporation. So everyone's like, well, we could do this. We could do dessert. We could have blah, blah, blah. And then we just see Leanne and Malarkey sitting there silently, like full of resentment and anger.
Hate you. So they go to the Walt Disney Concert Hall, which I resent deeply because that's where you have to go for jury duty. So you have to park, and it's really obnoxious. Yes. And every time I walk through there now, I'm like, fuck you, Walt Disney Concert Hall. Go fuck yourself. Why would they mix jury duty with such autistic beauty?
Well, one could say they're one and the same. Mm-hmm. So then Kevin, I would say fuck you to Kevin, because they're sitting in there, and they're looking at this beautiful Frank Gehry, you know, architectural masterpiece. And Kevin's like, well, the roof sort of looks like a cabbage leaf. I'm like, fuck you. I'm always going to see cabbage leaves up there. I don't even see the cabbage leaf, but I'm always going to think of, oh, look, there's a cabbage leaf.
But he's just so Kevin about it. You know, he's like, this is stunning. We are at the Walt Disney Hall right now, and it is stunning. So many angles, so much movement. The interior, gorgeous blonde woods, cuffed shapes, almost looks like a cabbage leaf. I'm like, could you just say something fucking normally, okay? You're not narrating, like, Fraser's life story on Animal Planet. I'm like, fuck.
Oh my god. Yeah, when he said that, I was like, oh, Ronnie is gonna be so mad, because I'm mad, and if I'm mad, then Ronnie's gonna
be
just livid.
So him, you know, blonde woods, cut shapes. You need to calm it, sir. So then Isaac Mizrahi number two of the day comes out.
Gustavo Dudamel. He's like, hello, Chevs. Yeah. He's like, something funny is that that organ over there, people call it the French fries. Kevin's like, oh, wow, look at that stain. The cherry stain on the French fries reminds me of cabbage cut in the shape of French fries.
Look at that beautiful, big, burly, bald man eating those fries so delicately. Ronnie, get off the organ, please. It's me. I just hear French fries. I start eating the set.
You'll see over here, chefs, that we actually have a bass drum from the orchestra. Oh, wait, that's just Gail. Hi, Gail.
And Dudamel's very, you know, into it, as he should be. But he's like, oh, it's a very special moment because we are celebrating 100th. Food, it is like art. It has flavor and feelings. And then you put these things together, you make harmony with food and feelings and love and music and love and food. I'm like, okay. Can we go back to the French fry talk? You're wandering into Kevin territory here.
Thanks.
So Karen tells us that she was a musical theater major, and she's, you know, just all giggles. She's like, as much as I'd like to think I had a budding career as a songstress, it was never going to happen. I was like, well, listen, I didn't come here to eat your broken dreams.
Right. I guess maybe his having that background in music is why I probably would get a very simple Kelly Clarkson reference, but my partner probably couldn't get it because I guess that's probably why. That's probably why I understand Kelly Clarkson a little bit better than he does anyway.
Oh, so then Kevin asks a very Kevin question. He's like, conductor, what is it like to have such contrasting elements inside one orchestra? I was like, oh, shut up. Shut up, Kevin. And he's like, every instrument, they're so different. They have their own color, but they all have to match. Like food.
And, you know, somewhere Tom Colicchio was watching on a closed circuit monitor and was like, oh, this is pretty good stuff. I think when it comes time to judging, I'm just going to probably really lean into this. Music metaphors, really into it. Let me write that down for later. Thanks.
So they go off into break off into their little two-person teams to go talk, and Karen and Nini are just yesing each other to death, you know? Karen's like, yes. These grape tomatoes, they're going to be sour, they're going to be umami, and if it was a song, that would be the crescendo. And Nini's like, love it, love it. Yeah. I don't care what you just said, I heard crescendo, and I love it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and Eric and Brian Voltage are going to do something, and it's going to incorporate Mafé, which is a Senegalese stew, and everyone's talking, and Malarkey and Leanne are having real issues because Malarkey's like, well, how about we have some beef, but we'll cook it in the tallow, and then we're going to add a piece of metal, but you won't know where it is, but we're going to saute that metal so it gets real tender, but it's still metal, you know what I'm saying? And she's like, we need you to rein it in a little bit.
She's like, umami and bitter, that's it, Malarkey, all right?
He's like, okay, great. So let's also add some sweet and some sour and maybe some salty to that too. How about that?
She's going to kill him already. And I like, yes, that she's not even trying to hide it. Like, yeah, she wants to murder him. So then they go shopping. And when they go into the store, Brian Voltaggio like runs up with his car. And Nini's behind him and she goes, oh my God, it's Michael Voltaggio.
And then they have this like battle
that shit
for
was
M-Dot.
Hilarious. And he, yeah, was like, what? And he just looked around like, what?
He's like, huh? So then Leanne has like a battle with, I think it was Eric, over endive. So she gets all the endive, which like it counts as high drama on the show. They're like, ooh, someone stole all the endive. And on top of that, by the way, the Whole Foods worker totally shamed her because she's like, do you have endive? And he's like, endive.
Yeah, it's over there.
And he's like, Kevin, thanks for ransacking our store.
Kevin tells Eric, that was dick, man. I think that's what he said. And Eric's like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? And Voltaggio is like, well, welcome to Top Chef, where sometimes you have to pivot, right? So then Melissa Leanne's like trying to shop and Melissa's just standing there with her notebook. And Melissa's a front runner, right? So
yeah,
no one needs to hear you do a monologue. And Leanne's like, where's the goddamn allspice or whatever? And Melissa's like, well, here's what I'm going to do. And she whips out her notebook and she's like, cabbage. Cabbage is such a humble, simple vegetable. I'm going to attempt to elevate the cabbage. I'm taking a huge risk. Could you get the fuck out of my way here, honey?
Huge risk. A huge cabbage risk. What was the riskiest thing you ever did? Well, one time I had to serve cabbage, and I thought, how am I going to elevate this? The humble cabbage. Hmm. The journeyman of brassicas. So anyway, Karen's like, I make this really great dish called aquapasta or aquapazza, which actually means crazy water in Italian. Yeah, I actually wrote a song about it and submitted it to Kelly Clarkson's people. They never got back to me about it. I was like, it went like this. Aquapazza, I'm crazy water for you. It's a great song. Anyway, we're going to make that.
The bridge was about poaching different fish into the same water. I can't believe she didn't pick it. By the way, that sounds disgusting. So then they're paying, and Brian Mularkey's trying to slip stuff in at the end, and Leanne's like, no! It's like being with a little kid in the grocery store where you're like, where did this candy come from? I didn't even see you take this off the shelf. And they just start throwing everything onto the conveyor belt.
Exactly. But instead of like candy, it's like carrots. He's really trying to force a carrot situation, even though carrots are sweet. And Leanne is going mad. She's like, shopping with Brian Mularkey is like shopping with monkeys on crack, which is appropriate because we have decided that his face looks like Monkey Chimes when he smiles.
I know. I thought of you when you said that.
I was like, thank you, Leanne.
So they go to cook at Otium Restaurant. And they all start, you know, like, what are you doing today? And then he tells Kevin. She's like, so, Kevin, what are you doing? He's like, fuck off. Just kidding.
Just kidding. Just thinking back on the blonde stain of that wood and the way the ceiling really looked like a cabbage leaf. Napa, purple cabbage, all the cabbages. It was all the cabbages were represented.
And Voltaggio is like, I'm making pork with muffy lacquer. Oh, God, it sounds like something I want to lacquer all over myself.
Also, by the way, this is when I cursed Nini and Karen, because there was a shot of them both doing prep next to each other, and they were just there. They looked like two aunties, you know, just standing there. Their arms were you could tell they hadn't moved in hours, and they were just like peeling stuff side by side, just chattering away. And I was like, I love these two. I hope they go all the way to the end, which is when I sealed their fate and made sure that they got eliminated this episode.
Aw. Yeah. So then Stephanie watches Brian Mularkey and Leanne go at each other. That's pretty fun. It's basically this. So I was thinking, no! So then I was thinking, no, Brian! And then I was thinking, God damn it, Brian, sit down!
Yeah. And then the judges come in to sit down at their table, and Dudamel starts talking about like how he started to when he started to conduct for the first time, and basically like, there was like the conductor wasn't there and they needed a conductor, so he stood up and everything. And Padma's like, and how old were you when you became a superstar? He's like, 11. She's wow, 11. That's how old Gail was when she first ransacked a Filene's basement. Wow, pivotal age.
Gail's doing this new thing. Now, Gail's thing has always been really bad patterns, you know, and that's always what I look for in Gail. Her new thing is really bad shoulder pad things. Like, they're like futuristic shoulder pads that it's not just the shoulder pad, it's also the actual dress. It's like the fabric goes skin tight to the shoulder pad. You know what I mean? It's very like Judy Jetson, and I think it's like the third time she's done it. Where did you find a sale on these shoulder pad dress things? You need to stop, Gail, okay? I know we're always making fun of your patterns, but you need to go back to those. Like, if it's between this and that, go back to those. I'm uncomfortable with this future Gail. I don't need future Gail. I like present Gail.
Just because you wear crazy shoulder pads doesn't mean you're Padma. Get it, Ali Wong? That was for you.
So they start plating in the back, and Stephanie's like, I feel like a great responsibility to make sure I don't hurt Gregory's chances because he's so talented and I'm just so Smile. Would you smile? Just smile one time for the... I am smiling. I am.
And outside, Tom is like, you know, what I like about this challenge is that it's forcing you to think about where the flavor is going to hit you on the palate. Am I right? Quiet, Q-Bar. Let's eat.
So Gregory and Stephanie present first, and they're salty and sour. And they've made a sea bass with glazed with miso and sake uzu.
And Tom's like, you know, everything in this dish is salty and sour. It's not just some things are salty and sour. All the things are salty and sour. It's like everything is working together like a chef in a kitchen where the music is a symphony of violins and brass and great music is coming out of it. Dudema, you want to take this from here? You want to go from here? I'm still working on it.
Oh, and then there's another guest judge there. I didn't write down his name, though.
Timothy.
Timothy. He was very surly. I liked him. He's like, The thing that pulls me away from this is the spiciness of the broth. And they're like, we're not going to listen to that. Okay. And then is when we see Violin Chick. And, you know, we always call these the normal people or the regular people or whatever when, you know, the guests are there and they give the thirstiest guest some camera time. And this today is the Violin Chick. And I wanted them to show her like 5 million times because she's like, this was something that. Bacon, what a nice touch. So it's like very natural Violin Chick.
It's like, this is not going to get you first chair, okay? So settle down. Padma's like, I would order this again and again and again. Sort of like Gale at a slushy machine.
So then Kevin is like, hopefully they say that we embody the spirit of the challenge. Blondewood. So he's with Melissa, and they've made sweet and salty roasted cabbage with fish sauce and pork crumble.
It actually looked amazing. I was salivating. And they serve it, and Gail just goes, damn. What'd you find a salad dress barn, Gail?
Really great that you focused on a vegetable, guys. You know what I love is that when you put this in your mouth, there's a bang of flavor. Wow.
It's almost like someone hit a timpani. Okay, whatever you say, Tom. I'm the one speaking, though.
And Gustavo's like, it's addicting. So then Malarkey is getting ready with Leanne. He's like, wow, Leanne, very controlling. Okay, carrots aren't going to make it to the symphony, but the tomatoes are. So guess what? Got that in. So suck it. We're working together. We're highly, highly, highly focused.
So then they serve a beef with miso anchovy hollandaise and bitter greens, charred orange puree. And he serves it and they're all eating it and he's explaining it. And then when it's time to go, Brian does something that's so annoying. He kind of like does that sort of like dip. He does like a dip with his knees and he goes, I appreciate that. You know that it's like when he's just being so condescending to the – did you notice that?
Yes.
You notice that move where it's like – it's almost like the blessed hands, like blessed, like but it's
bow.
Not – it's like, it's like this little bow to the side. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Fuck you. Stop doing a little minor bow.
How is it working as a team? You're both horrible people. He's like, well, we've known each other a long time, and she's still a bitch from hell. Thank you. Blessed.
And Dudamel's like, they take thousands of notes and put them together in harmony. I'm a conductor.
And Gail's like, this is the best food we've had from both of them. It wasn't overwrought or overthought. Listen, Gail, it's a symphony, not a Vanilla Ice concert.
Wow, Gail, what a revelation, considering they both served us nothing better than a ho-ho all season long.
So then Eric and Voltaggio come out. That pork, I was worried for their pork.
Yeah.
You can only really see, you know, obviously we can't taste anything, but I saw that pork and I was like, that is some dry pork.
It looks very dry on camera.
It did, right? It's some dry one color pork, but no one said it was dry.
Yeah, they were actually, what I liked was, so this pork came out and it had this, this mafe lacquer on it, which is where the sweetness was supposed to be. And they served it. And before Padma ate the pork, she took like the very tip of her knife and scraped off a little bit of the lacquer and tasted it with the very tip of her tongue. It was like, this looks like shit. I just want to make sure it tastes like shit, too, before I yell at you guys for serving shit to a celebrity.
And Tom's like, well, you know, this was musical notes coming together. You know what? I'm really out of it. Can someone just put on some Apple Music? I pay for that. So.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem here. I would cut the pork loin in half. I cut it in a different way because the ratio of crust to meat is off. It's like when you listen to a beautiful symphony and you're just like, whoa, too much cello. Am I right? There's just too much cello and too much tuba. The ratio is all off. Dudamel, you want to take it from here? I sort of set you up for some good music references. You want to do it? No? Okay.
I'm going to have to rely on you for the rest of this because my notes got cut off somehow. How?
Oh.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, that's fine. So next up come Karen and Nini. And so they have Umami and Sour. Do you want me to send you my notes? Would that make life easier for you?
How embarrassing.
It's fine. That's fine.
Look, why does this always happen to me?
It's very, very simple. Okay, so Karen and Nini are up next. And they have Umami and Sour. And Karen's like, for us, the melody is the broth. And the harmony is everything else. And the potatoes are the crescendo. And the spoon is sort of like you sitting in your seat, which you're like, wow, this is a good seat, but I kind of wish I had paid more for a better seat. Am I right, spoon? Am I right?
And then Padma gives them this look where she just squint smiles at them. She's like,
Crescendo on a potato? Really?
Wow, grape tomatoes. Fantastic. Is there a locker for me to push these girls into?
Is there any way I can remind them that they don't have dates for the prom, and if they go with each other, they're pathetic? Thanks.
Yeah, you pretty much knew at this point that those two were getting it, because everybody else, like right before they came out, Gail was like, this is the best food we've had all season long. This has been amazing. How are we going to choose? This is amazing. And then they served it and all the judges are like, I mean, it was tomato. So yeah. It's like some tomato something. So
then after the girls are done, Padma stands up and she's like, I want to thank Odium Restaurant for allowing us to cook in their kitchen. And to the LA Phil, I want to wish you a happy 100th anniversary. And please, break a leg. No autographs. Thank you very much.
I'd also like to give a special shout out to both Isaac Mizrahis for coming today.
And another thing to the LA Phil. I just want to remind each and every one of the people here who are all so talented that they will never be as famous as I am. So see your way out. Thank you.
Oh, and so now for judging.
Yes. So Tom is like, this was a pretty fantastic meal. I liked this was just really delicious. And Padma's like, and that's what makes this decision even harder. And of course, by decision, I mean, what do we feed Gail? Oreos or saltines?
Yeah, I don't have notes, so I'm just gonna.
Okay, I emailed you my notes, by the way, if you need to. Thank you.
Sorry, everybody. I know this is so unprof.
Wow, did you mean to erase half your notes, Ronnie?
I don't know what the hell I do sometimes. I think it's because I type these notes now on this iPad, and it's like so little to fit between my... I feel like a gigantic bear typing on this little tiny thing. And, you know, you move one thing, and then your finger hits something, and then, girl. Yeah.
I get it. So Padma turns to Karen and Nini, and she's like, so, homely ladies, how is today for you? Bad, right? And they're like, well, we actually had a great time. We had so much fun. I loved telling Nini all about my new album that I'm working on called Crazy Pasta, featuring my favorite song, Aqua Pasta. It's a song about crazy, crazy shapes of pasta. My new single is called Wagon Wheels Go Round and Round. Gonna send that one to Taylor Swift and see if she likes that. Hopefully,
wow, a song about poached fish. Can't wait. Surely you're going to make it in that industry.
So Stephanie and Greg talk about how they had a wonderful calm between them. And they're basically all the teams are basically talking about how they just love. They all worked well together, you know, so they're all complimenting each other.
Yeah. And then Padma. Oh, where are we in judging?
Yeah, we're in judging. So Padma's basically like, well, chefs, all of the dishes were fantastic, but we do have a favorite, and that is my outfit. Thank you all so much for noticing.
Congratulations. It was cabbage. Wow, what a way to elevate the cabbage. Isn't that right? Anybody here want to have a monologue about cabbage? Well, I will say, The shapes and the curves of that ceiling inspired me to no end. Thank you, ceiling. Thank
okay,
you.
Quiet, Travelocity Gnome. Okay, Leanna Malarkey, you guys were really, really close to winning this. But you didn't. You did not win.
Unfortunately,
so you do not have to
I
win.
Could kind of taste a little bit of Malarkey's personality while I was eating, and it disgusted me, so get out.
Part of me wonders if I'd had a delicious coconut donut earlier in the day that maybe my appetite would have been ready for this dish, but oh well, I guess that's something we'll never know.
We try to go into these challenges and judge them challenge by challenge, but it's really hard for me to respect a veneer that doesn't understand dough. All right, so Greg and Stephanie, let's get on with you. And Gail's like, it was distinctly salty and distinctly sour.
But the one thing that was superfluous were your shoulder pads. No, was the jalapeno.
I was going to write an album called The Superfluous Jalapeno. Shut up, lady. All right, you've had your turn, pink hair. We'll get to you.
We'll get to you, sweet tomato sauce.
I love your notes. This is so fun reading your notes. Gail,
you know, put the chilies away sometimes.
Says the woman who wears a pattern to a wedding. I don't even know what that means. Mm. But in Padma's mind is terrible. so they are safe. So then we're down to Karen and Nini, and then also I can't even remember who the other team is. Oh, Eric and Brian.
Yeah.
So Padma's like, making delicious, beautiful food was the baseline, but highlighting the two tastes was the challenge of the day. Let's talk about how all four of you failed and should be kicked off all at once.
And Gail's like, yeah, you know what? Fresh whole tomatoes, that doesn't really give me umami. It gives me tomato. Okay?
hey, Padma, can I try this one out? Did you mean to use fresh tomatoes? You didn't do it right. You gotta go like this. Did you mean to use fresh tomatoes?
Hope you enjoyed that pail of fail that Gail just served us.
So then Tom, I vote to eliminate Gail.
Tom's like, maybe you could have, cooked the tomato sauce because that creates umami, not just tomatoes. That's acid, which is not umami. And, you know, frankly, it was off key and out of rhythm and 2/4 time signature. And that's all I've got.
You know, it's like you got a Casio keyboard, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna blow everyone away with my synthesizer right now, and then you never plug it in. You know, just no umami coming out of it.
Then when they get to Eric and Brian's dish, Padma's like, your dish had a good amount of bitterness; it just needed more sweetness.
Yeah. You know, the pork was sliced too thin, and there just wasn't enough surface area. And this is when Tom is just, you know, he's on this thing. Well, you know, if you cut it halfway, I mean, it's like you take out a trumpet, you know, and you blow in the wrong end. Am I right, everyone? Huh? Am I right? You know? Am I right?
And Padma's like, I don't want to see any of them go. Sad face. Sad face.
I like when Padma pretends to be really sad. Or when she pretends to cry but no tears come out. She's like,
hold on, I'm about to kick you off, but hold on, let me try and get some tears in here. Can we do that one again? Not working.
I need some onions. Gail, breathe on my face. So Gail's like, I mean, they're going home for fantastic food. It feels counterintuitive to what we're here to do. I know. Like, if I have to eliminate Nini, how am I going to impress anyone with my knowledge of Asian food?
So Gail's like, well, you know, the simple act of putting those fresh tomatoes in the dish distracted from the umaminess.
Yeah, just like how your fresh tomato colored dress distracts me from everything.
Tom's like, well, you know, what happened here, chefs, is, there's that a conductor was calling for violence.
This is an actual quote, by the way.
It is.
A conductor was calling for violins or woodwinds, and all of a sudden, someone decided to go take a mixology class, and the music was just completely ruined and just turned into a really, really watered-down martini. So,
And Padma just goes, yeah. Like, I don't know where you're going with this one, but it's amusing.
So, chefs, welcome back. I think that music is a great comparison for what we do every night as chefs, you know. I stay out too late. I go on too many dates. And that's what people say. You know, that's what people say. But I keep moving. I keep grooving. And that was Taylor Swift, and that's all I've got. Padma, kick somebody off.
Thank you for another first musical metaphor, Tom. That was really lovely. And I'm sure my dear friend Taylor Swift and my dear friend Lena Waithe both enjoyed that quite a bit. Anyway, homely ladies, you're fired. So Nini's like, well, maybe that's my curse. If there's a double elimination, I get kicked off. You darn tootin', take your glasses with you.
Now, don't go anywhere just yet, ladies. Yeah.
Nini and Karen, don't go anywhere just yet. I want to sit in your humiliation another moment. Oh, that's good. Look at how sad you are. That's good. That feels real nice.
And now it's time for Last Chance Kitchen. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, Tom basically is like, I'll take it from here. And he like changes his jacket. They do like a whole set change behind him. And I thought he was going to break into a solo here. He's like, all right, it's time for the Last Chance musical montage. So he changes into like his Last Chance jacket. And he's like, Last Chance starts right now. And then all the other chefs come walking in.
For more Last Chance Kitchen, go to BravoTV.com.
And to know what I'm up to, you can watch a beautiful woman eating a hamburger on my Instagram.
Oh, speaking of, I was looking at her Instagram today and I was cracking up. She's like, it shows her cooking, right? And then it shows her sitting down to eat. And then while the whole time she's eating, her cleaning lady is behind her cleaning the mess that she just made. And it's just so Padma. It's like,
look at me. This was so simple to make and so delicious. I'm like, yeah, it's simple because you don't have to clean anything. You just get to do the fucking fun part. The cleaning lady's behind you like, this bitch had to use 10 pans to make that. Saying it's easy.
Wait, this is on her story, you said?
No, it's just her regular Instagram feed.
Oh, God.
I think it's today's.
Yeah, is this when she's making dosas? Because now I'm watching it.
Yeah,
it
she's so making good. Dosas. And like when she sits down to eat them, you just see the cleaning lady behind her like, fuck this, god damn it.
I want to see her sit down.
Padma's like, I've made four different stews and sauces. So easy, so simple.
Okay, I think I'm on the wrong one. But either way, that is so Padma to do that. Look at me. Karen and Nini, you have been eliminated, but I do cordially invite you to clean up my dishes.
And that brings us to the end of Top of Sheffa. Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with some Charles of Sunset.
Woo! Should be fun.
Talk to you guys
everyone.
Later.
Podcast listener, looking for a short podcast that's fun, upbeat, and that talks about love and dating during quarantine in a way that makes you smile? Well, we recommend checking out Love on Lockdown, a podcast by Match. Tune in for love. You can listen to Love on Lockdown wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Love on Lockdown by Match.